Does your horse pin his ears while riding? Oh, should I say, does your horse pin her ears while riding? This is Don Jessup. This is Mastery Horsemanship Podcast, and we are here today to solve that problem. First things first, let's talk about the reasons horses pin their ears. Contrary to what people think, it's not just about anger or resentment. Sometimes it is. Sometimes, however, ear pinning is about an inherent playfulness in the horse or dominance over another thing, such as when a horse drives a cow or a dog. That's not anger all the time. Sometimes that's a playfulness. Sometimes ear pinning is defensive in nature, such as when a horse feels threatened, and that's not dominance at all. They're just trying to defend their space. When it's not about anger, resentment, playfulness, or defensiveness, ear pinning is usually related to concentration or physical pain. I want that to soak in. Sometimes ear pinning is related to high levels of concentration or physical pain. When you're riding, or on the ground for that matter, you have to look beyond the expression of the ears to find out whether he's angry, playful, resentful, or in pain. If a horse won't go forward, for instance, when you're asking, there's a good chance he's feeling resentful about your suggestion. But if you look around, you might also notice that the other horse you're riding with is way too close to you, and your horse is actually being defensive about it. Now that you look at all the pieces, you realize, oh, he's not angry at me. He's defensive about the other horse. So you have to be kind of careful how and when we make corrections. Each situation is a little different and equally important to learn about. I'm going to outline four situations. There are hundreds of variations, to be sure, but these four will illustrate the most common and correctable situations with your horse while riding. Groundwork, that's a conversation for another day. Here is riding situation number one of four. You're alone in the arena, just you and your horse, and you're asking for a transition into forward movement. It doesn't matter what speed. What matters is that in this situation, your horse doesn't want to go, and you begin to notice that his ears are pinned back. You've seen it before. He does it all the time. Every time you ask, he hesitates, pins his ears, throws his head, maybe even kicks or rears to avoid doing what you want. Then after a little pressure, sure, he complies, but the truth is, it's not getting better and you're feeling stuck with a sour horse. And you have to first understand that your horse is confused, not about what you want. He might know exactly what you want, but he might not know why you want it. Why is it so important? Why do you want him? Why are you making me do this? That's what a typical horse will do when it's just you and him in the arena and he doesn't want to go forward. He resents being asked. You could be kinder about what you want, which will help a little. You could be a little more reward oriented, and that's going to help a lot. Just every time you ask and he replies with a yes, then you say, yes, good job, that's great. And you could be more patient, which is actually going to help the most. Don't be in such a rush. And the reason it helps so much to slow down your signal and support mechanisms is your horse needs time to process the request. In spite of the fact that he's a smart horse, if you blast through it, you may get the forward motion you want, but over the years, his expression will never change. He doesn't like being blasted through things. So when you ask, wait a little bit before you give the support. If you send your go signal and hold it, and just wait and wait until he goes, then immediately release and reward. When he does go, he'll become intrigued with this game you're playing. He'll think respond equals reward. That's a cool thing. And that's the question we want him contemplating. Let me be clear about something here. Actually, two things. First, there are thousands of techniques and strategies. So what you're reading now is not an end-all be-all strategy. You are still required to learn more, explore, and grow in your own skills. And that's why we have courses dedicated. The Horse Mastery Group is one of those platforms dedicated to helping you learn and grow. Second, listen closely. When you ask your horse to go, and your horse gives you an ears-back reaction instead of going, you have to recognize he's trying. Yes, he's trying all the wrong things, but he's still trying. He's trying to figure something out and do something related to the pressure. So never force a trying horse. I want you to remember that. Never force a trying horse, even if he's trying the wrong thing. Notice, please notice that when you ask and you get ears back, there is electrical energy surging through your horse related to your suggestion. If you just wait and hold your signal, I like to use a light squeeze with both heels instead of kicking, and I just hold that. And when I wait, and I just wait, and then finally he says, you know what? I can do this. I can go. I just don't release my signal until he goes. But don't increase the pressure either. Don't say, hey, you're not responding quick enough. You're supposed to be going right now, unless it's an emergency and you need to go get Timmy out of the well. You just better wait. It's going to be so important for you at this point. And then when he finally realizes that you're not going to blast him through, his resentfulness, his resentment, it will settle. He won't be so resentful. He may even relax so much that he forgets you're even asking him to do anything, and he'll just stand there with soft ears. And if he does that, and he doesn't respond to you and go forward, then it's okay to increase your pressure a little bit to remind him, like, no, I do still want something. I still want you to go forward. And when he does finally take a step in the right direction, even if it's one single step, you have to praise him. You have to take him through a training cycle, something I call the cycle of training, where you ask, release, reward, even at the smallest try. And after a while, you can ask more before you reward. But in the very beginning, you're trying to get rid of this ears back issue. So you want to take it slow and reward often. All right, where are we? Because he feels so rewarded from you, he will no longer resent being asked by you. Like everything, you won't cure it all at once. You'll have to learn to communicate like this every time you ride for the rest of your life. Because these things happen from time to time, but you'll notice his expression gets better and better each ride, and he offers more. Don't revert to the old way of asking and blasting to try and fix grumpy expression. You can scare a horse out of a grumpy expression, but that's not necessarily going to change it in the long term. Be reward-oriented and use the training cycle. And actually, you can click on a link here in my blog post to find that I've got a whole blog article written about the training cycle to help him realize what you want, or her. One little tip here. Use your reins to keep his head straight forward to prevent him from biting. Unless he wants to rear, then you have to bend his neck a little or move his feet to prevent the rear. If it's really, really bad, get off and get help. Your life is worth it. Situation number 2 of 4. You are riding in a group. And every time your friend passes you to take the lead, your horse pins his ears at the other horse. He's being defensive, but there's no reason for it. At least you think so. Not from your perspective. You've never hurt him or let him into danger. Why won't he listen to you and just relax about it? Here's the answer. Here's the solution. In this situation, your horse is indeed being defensive, not aggressive. Defensive. It can look like he's being mean, but he's not being mean. He doesn't hate the other horse. What he or she hates is the feeling of being encroached on, having that space become tighter and tighter. See, horses have big bubbles. They're much bigger than us because they're so much larger animals. You know it's defensive because he doesn't do it all the time. He only does it when he is approached by other horses. His bubble is being pushed on. You could just yank on the reins really hard or spank him for being a naughty horse, but not recommended, because forceful corrections aren't useful in most situations, only useful if you're in genuine danger and you need to get out of there. If your horse is defensive, the best thing to do is pick up the reins, just like you hold a young child's hand while crossing the street. It's a steady kind of feel on the reins, and as the other horse passes, just simply be there for your horse. If he kicks at the other horse, you can make a firm correction. You're ready. You're right there on the reins, right? You're there already. Remember, it's okay to be firm in dangerous situations, but most of the time, he won't kick. Instead, he'll simply tense up a bit and feel very reassured that you're there with him, physically in contact with him with those short reins. Each situation is slightly different. There are thousands of variations available. Principally, you just have to remember your horse is being defensive and needs more exposure to the situation, not less. More exposure with safety in mind can cure a defensive horse, especially if you reward your horse often in that environment. One way to reward your horse is just making it through the tough situation and handing him a treat. Even have another rider, the encroaching rider, hand out treats. This is a really kind of powerful tool. There's a reason everyone loves fire trucks, even though they're loud, big machines. It's because every Memorial Day, candy comes pouring off those bulky red engines by the bagful. Use the same concept to help your horse learn to integrate and interact calmly with other horses. In the most extreme examples, and believe me, I've had a few, I've had to be much firmer. I had one mare years ago who would charge with her teeth bared at any horse that approached her. She never played offense. To be clear, this was always defense. It was always when another horse came towards her that triggered it. She didn't run around terrorizing the horses in the field. It was just when we were riding and another horse got too close. In this situation, we had to be very firm. we had to correct that horse, and we played a pretty extreme game. We would actually take the horse and gallop away at full speed if she pinned her ears and bared her teeth. And then we'd come back and we'd have another horse come in and get a little too close, and she'd pin her ears and bare her teeth and take off, and we'd take her off and tear out at a full gallop. And then we'd do that 3 or 4 times. After a while, it would get to the point, I'd have one horse walk in, and this horse would think, are we going to gallop or are we going to stay here? I'm not sure. I better pay attention to my rider instead of the horse that's approaching me. And at that point, we knew we were making a breakthrough. She actually stopped pinning her ears at the other horses. She stopped being defensive because we gave her a really big, important job to do in the moment that her instinct overcame her. And we said, no, don't listen to instinct here. Listen to your rider. But that's pretty extreme. Most other things you can solve with a little bit of approach and retreat, a little bit of positive interactions. Oh, a little note here, side note. I want you to learn how to be a leader that your horse looks to under pressure. Wouldn't that be cool? Leadership in Horses, book available today. Sorry about that. That's a plug on my own book, but I hope you love it. I think most people here who are listening are looking for some kind of leadership tool, and you can find it right there in that book. Situation number 3 of 4. Your horse can do no wrong. Always performing beautifully with just one tiny hiccup. He's been pinning his ears a little bit more lately. You can't tell what it is. You always ask politely. You reward him often. He doesn't hesitate to respond. He's so good. Yet for some reason, his attitude seems to be getting worse. His responses are still positive. His feet still do what I want. But the ears are kind of starting to pin back most of the time, especially in motion. I bet you can guess the answer to this one. The horse is in pain. Sometimes when the horse doesn't show any signs of limping, it's easy to assume that ear pinning is a psychological or behavioral issue, and we want to correct that, right? But in reality, many types of pain manifest themselves outside the typical visible cues. For instance, a sore tummy, ulcers, congestion, early colic stage, tendon soreness, joint soreness, foot soreness, they can all kind of happen at a low level, and the rider might not even know about it. The horse that continues to show ear pinning in relation to pain generally doesn't pin the ears all the way back. It's not flat back. You got to be able to read the difference between a horse's ears that are forward, to the side, a little bit back, all the way back. And they might scrunch up their face like they're wincing in pain. I've tried to fix pain-related issues with massage, movement, and shape therapy, yoga for horses. You can learn about that kind of thing in my mastery group. Interrupting the ear pinning with rein corrections and many other techniques. But now, if I even think for a second that the ear pinning could be related to pain, I don't go straight into those types of pain of fix-it therapies. Instead, I go to my favorite test, drugs. That's right, drugs. I give my horse some painkillers and I go out and do a normal ride, and I just see if in fact the ears are normal instead of pinned back. And if they are normal, then I instantly know, like, yep, it's pain. I know it's pain. It's a really simple test. And then I don't continue to ride with painkillers. I don't think that's very nice. Instead, what I do is I go get it checked out to see if there's anything I can do. I go to the vet. I see if there's anything wrong with his feet, his tendons, his legs, his inside, ulcers, you name it. I will find out what is going on for my horse. And, of course, pain-related therapies like massage and shape therapy, movement therapy are good things to do anyway. So of course, continue to do those things. So check it out. Don't just hesitate. If you think it might be pain, get in there and dig in and find out what's going on. Situation number 4, you are riding in a group, actually just standing casually, chatting to your friend in a group, when suddenly your horse lunges forward, ears pinned, and bites your friend's horse on the shoulder. Her horse in turn pins his ears, turns to kick your horse, nearly breaking your leg as the kick lands just in front of the stirrup. What the hell? Where did that come from? The answer, the solution, is horses are always sending body language cues back and forth. Just because there's no verbal language, that doesn't mean there's no language. In fact, even in the human world, the majority of our conversation is still nonverbal. Only about 7% of our conversation comes out in actually dictated words. What all this means is that horses are constantly talking to each other, and it's not always nice. Have you ever met someone you just don't like? You don't know why, but there's just something about him or her that rubs you the wrong way. You don't even have to speak to that person. One moment of eye contact and you can tell you don't like them. In fairness, you may in fact grow to like that person over time, just as many horses grow to like each other. But in the beginning, tension can build and you don't even know why. It's that nonverbal language. In most human interactions, we have the ability to move to more comfortable spaces. With horses, however, they're often forced to be where we are because that's where we're standing, that's where we're asking them to be, and this increases the tension between two opposing personalities. So the only thing to do is correct the ill behavior in this circumstance. I'm more observant than most riders simply because I've been through and seen the worst of all horse behaviors. I've been on the receiving end of many bad experiences. What I always encourage my riders to do is keep a constant guard up. Keep an eye on your horse and catch something before it escalates. If you notice your horse is getting tense, you can move back a space or so. You can simply pick up the reins and check his attention is on you again. If you miss the opportunity to correct early and he'll break loose, and the best thing to do now is just to clear the space, make sure everybody's safe. Reset your horse to a safe position as quickly as you possibly can. Then, and only if you're feeling capable of doing so, begin a training cycle to teach the horse to like the other horses, just like we talked about before. If nothing else, to just tolerate each other. The cycle could look like this: approach, notice attention, retreat to a safe place, repeat until the horse proves to hold their attention on you, the rider, not the other horses. Don't let the horses touch each other's nose. That's an important factor here when you're integrating or interacting with other horses. It's a big no-no. Eventually, you can allow that to happen, but only after the horses are friends and the tension is all gone. You do not want two tense horses touching noses when you're riding. Not a good idea. In summary, exposure is a key ingredient to success. Keeping everybody alive during tense moments is ideal. Keeping everybody safe involves keeping your horse's attention on who? On you. When things just don't feel right, remember to seek out professional help. That's what we're here for. That's what the Mastery Group is here for. And we're just a phone call away. In fact, I'm going to give you my phone number. 406-360-1390. That's my phone number, and I'm here for you. And it's going to be a free phone call for you the first time. I want you to know that. In that call, we can get to know each other, and I can share my Mastery Group opportunity with you. Hopefully, reading this helps you begin to understand a little bit more about the inside of a horse. I want you to be progressive, positive, and successful in your horse activities. Knowing what's going on deep inside your horse's mind should help you be a better horse person and leader. Leadership here is really the biggest key to success with horses. If you want to learn more about being a great leader, if you want to learn what masters do with their horses, I want you to read my book, Leadership and Horses. You can click on the link below. Buy a copy today here on the website or on Amazon.com. I thank you so much for reading and listening. This is Don Jessup. See you next time.